Jackson Power Hour, top of the hour, a little bit after. You know, this whole Google thing, obviously the censorship has gotten people about losing their minds, us included, and very concerned. The algorithms got me concerned. Our next guest is a documentary filmmaker, researcher, what have you. He's been doing this for a while. He has several credits, including Clinton Cash. He got interested in what the CEO of Google called the creepy line. And I think that's a fitting name, the creepy line. It's creepy what's going on. We're very excited to welcome to the Power Hour Matthew Taylor. Matthew, welcome to the Power Hour, my friend.
Huge pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, I was able to meet you earlier today, and I don't think I could hardly have been more impressed. Your understanding of this topic and all the different dimensions of it is very impressive. Let's just start. Why did you decide to make this film?
Well, you know, I'm a huge technology fan. I love technology. I feel very comfortable around a motherboard. I like all the things that are innovative and new. I followed Facebook and Google on their rise. And they did a lot of really cool things. I mean, they brought the world together. They brought all the information to us. But, you know, over the last couple of years, they've grown to such a size. And what's been happening is a lot of things have come out about them and their activities that I found deeply distressing. And look, with every great innovation of technology, there's always a dark side. And I think now we're starting to see the dark side, and this seems like a good time to hopefully start a conversation. And I hope we're not too late starting this conversation on the state of the future of our lives with these companies.
The website is thecreepyline.com. If you're interested in checking this out, the trailer is compelling. I just got a copy of the video itself. I haven't seen that yet, but the trailer is completely compelling. Let's talk about Google specific or YouTube. The censorship that we've seen, where people have been, our YouTube channel was canceled. I mean, just erased off the internet. They didn't like what we said, didn't like the subjects we bring up. Other conservatives certainly seem slanted towards conservative. What is behind all this censorship? Why is it troubling to you? And does the government need to step in and do something about it?
Well, you know, it's troubling because if there was multiple platforms and, you know, this is a private company, they have the right to do with certain things as they wish, but they have moved beyond the typical definition of a private company. They're beyond what our old sense of even a monopoly is. They have moved into the sense of being fully integrated into our everyday lives, you know, and so the fact that when they decide to choose to censor people, you know, we don't have any say in that. And it's, you know, even with the government, we can vote out people. We can write petitions. We can call up our congressmen. With Google and Facebook, you know, we aren't citizens of these companies, yet they rule us over like a government. And so the fact of the matter is that they pick and choose different things and they're unregulated. First of all, it goes outside of certain, you know, exemptions like the CDA 230, where they're exempt from being media companies. But, you know, I think it's concerning in that they are using their technologies and our data to ultimately push us in certain directions one way or the other. And I think that we all should be aware of that.
Now, there was a story, maybe I shouldn't, I'll just go ahead and mention it. It appears that one of the lead designers in Google, the algorithm involved, I haven't followed up on this, but I got it from George in Canada there. I believe Catherine sent it to me. They just sent a text or a tweet, I should say, where they're saying the GOP effed up. You know, you use your imagination, effed up, and now you'll see trouble or something to that effect. That we're making overt threats. It's not just control and censorship. It's control and censorship on a certain leaning a certain political way. They have they definitely seem to have a political point of view. Do they not?
Well, absolutely. I mean, look, you can look at how they donate, people in the company, how they donate to left-leaning causes. But look, you can donate toward a left-leaning cause and still sell a product to the entire population. The problem here is that the product they're selling is us. And when a company that is outside of your political leading is selling your data to, say, an advertiser or government or even law enforcement, you know, they're going to imprint their values on that system that does the selling. And so, you know, you may have a perspective, and they may think your perspective is wrong or against their values, and they may make you disappear, or they may push you in a direction. And so that, again, you're talking about a company that controls 90% of search. And if search is kind of the gateway to all of human information, and they lean a certain way, well, they can just make some information just not there to push our opinions one way or another.
In the trailer, what you just said, that was a thing that just hit me like a gut punch. Google and Facebook don't sell anything. They sell you. That, I mean, I can't underestimate how powerful that was. Get into that a little further. Just what are they using and doing by exploiting you?
Absolutely. I mean, look, this is really what it comes down to. We are essentially cattle to these companies. I mean, you know, when you use the systems, and let's be very clear what they build. They are building surveillance platforms, Google Maps, Android, Google Search. These are all systems that know more about you than you know about yourself. Because remember, you are interfacing with these systems, and you are asking them questions and telling them information that you wouldn't tell your best friend or your spouse. You're asking them about the most intimate things in the world. And they are collecting that data, and they are building these kind of profiles on us to kind of figure out what we want. So they can build little bubbles around us that feed us more information to lull us into a sense of complacency or move us this way or move us that way. And so the thing is that data, once they have it, to monetize what they actually monetize on is actually selling it to an advertiser, which then sells products to us. Now, classically speaking, in advertising, sure, like advertisers try to sell things, we get that. But the thing is I can see the advertisers. I can see the BMW ad or the iPhone ad. This is a type of manipulation that's brand new. This is totally invisible. You can't even make the decision to not be manipulated because you just can't see it. And that is how we are really kind of their product. And when it gets really nefarious, is when they start selling our information to intelligence agencies, government, law enforcement. That's where things start getting super, super creepy.
Now, I've had many listeners probably you tell. I haven't seen the whole documentary, obviously. I've been talking by my computer or searching or doing whatever. I've been talking about product, you know, like dog food or whatever, you know, talking about something. Not searching on the internet, talking about it. I've been talking about the product, and then sure enough, the next website I go to, the Google ads that pop up, there'll be something about dog food. Is this real or is this my imagination?
I mean, look, the thing is a lot of these things are secret IP behind the scenes, so it's hard to verify things unless they leak. And, of course, there's a lot of talk about, I say this thing and up comes the ad, you know, and that could be a thing that they're doing, but it definitely, you know, has to do with things when you search or when you say things online. They are definitely picking up those things. And here's the thing, in the small print in the Google kind of rules is that anything you do on their platform, they own. So one of the things is that you can never use a Google platform and you've touched Google because most websites use Google Analytics, right? So you go visit a website that has nothing to do with Google. You didn't search it on Google. You went directly to the website. But they own that activity while you are on that website. And it's everywhere. It's in every website. It's in every place that you go. And they're constantly tracking and collecting. So as we move towards, say, devices like Google Home, they are always listening. They are always on. You know, the Siri devices from Apple are listening. They have to be listening because that's how they work. And obviously Google has been caught in the past, not just listening, but collecting the things you say and sending them back to the home chip. So it's not outside of the possibility that they would be promoting things based on surveillance devices. Because remember, everything they make is for surveillance. everything. There's not a single thing they make that doesn't, that isn't designed to surveil and collect your information without you knowing, to use it against you.
We got a little, a couple of minutes before the break. If you back up and think about it, how in the world could the government have complete surveillance over us, like a Big Brother 1984 situation? It's like, oh, that's ridiculous. How, we'll never let that. Well, they didn't do it. They allowed this corporation. We opened the door to them. I mean, the genius of this is maddening almost. How the Big Brother intrusion in our life didn't come down like a hammer. We opened the door and laid out the red carpet for it. Is that the same thing you're seeing?
Well, absolutely. I mean, look, in the early days when someone said, hey, let's send email, it's free, right? But nothing's really free. I mean, there has to be a cost. If, you know, email sits on servers. These programs sit on servers. That costs a lot of time, costs a lot of energy, and costs a lot of money. So you got to monetize it somehow. And so we never ask the question of what is the cost of using Gmail. We never ask the question of what's the cost of using Android or using Google Maps. And the thing is that the cost is much larger than we ever anticipated. We opted in to this arrangement, to this totalitarian arrangement. Because the thing is, it's like, what do you do now? Do you not use email? Do you not use search? Do you not use any of these products? They are part of your life now. And, you know, we only have ourselves to blame. And we really are the gasoline for these surveillance platforms. Without us, they don't make any money. But the question is, how do you get out? And in some instances, like Google search, you can't. It's 90% of search. There's no alternative. That's the platform. And we built it.
I'm fascinated by Google's, their rise. You know, at one point, there was no Google. Yahoo was everything. Yahoo was the Google of search. I mean, it was the dominant search engine in the world. And in business, in the world, when do you see somebody that had such a dominant position, I mean, within a year or two, I mean, virtually overnight in the business cycle, Yahoo went from being the dominant player in the market to being an afterthought. I mean, it's stunning. There's no way, just logically looking at it, it could have happened without some serious help and some serious money behind it and players behind it. That's my two cents. I'll get your response, Matthew Taylor from thecreepyline.com on the other side, and so many more things to ask. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. The government connections to Google are... would be troubling. And we're talking to Matthew Taylor from thecreepyline.com. This new documentary about what the CEO of Google said. We go to the creepy line and we try not to cross it. Well, I think you've crossed it. I think we're past that. I think we're past the creepy point. It's creepy what's going on. Matthew Taylor, I'm going to ask you, what government Google connections are there that we know of?
Well, you know, Google is one of the largest, if not the largest, lobbying presence in Washington, D.C. During the Obama years, they had visited the Oval many, many, many times, you know, and worked in conjunction with the federal government. There was the revolving door with employees that would move from the Obama administration into private companies and then back and forth. And then, of course, you have the contract work. You have parts of the government that sit on Google servers, that use Gmail, that use Google Docs. You know, they sit on their servers, which is, you know, one way it's insecure because, like, they've been hacked by Chinese and places like that. And the other thing is it puts our government kind of in the same vice that the rest of us are in. And so, you know, you have the government. How are they going to do anything about a company in which controls their data? You know, and our government, you know, God bless them, they're inefficient by design. But the founding fathers designed our government to be inefficient so they could do crazy things. These companies are like governments, but they lack any of the efficiencies that our government has. So how is our government supposed to regulate a company in which, you know, they are facilitating our government? So that would probably be some of the biggest connections, both lobbying and also kind of the institution of various departments in the government.
We've heard different reports that DARPA was a heavy investor initially in Google. What do you know about that?
I mean, in the early days, the intelligence industry was very interested in how Google worked. Obviously, the Central Intelligence Agency was very interested in law enforcement, of course. And they did invest in some of these platforms. I mean, it only makes sense that they would, you know, want to be able to tap into the World Wide Web. And if these are surveillance platforms, it would extend their reach infinitely in some instances. So, you know, there is a lot of kind of collusion between the intelligence industry and these companies to this day.
You know, the algorithm, there's a lot of focus. We only got a couple minutes for a break. It's a short segment. This algorithm, I'm of the opinion that DARPA, the Defense Department, the research, the reason they got a competitive advantage off Yahoo, one of it, you know, other than just the big push and the money and what have you, is they had a better algorithm, and that algorithm came from Defense Department research. Do you know anything about that?
I mean, you know, I'm not entirely sure kind of how integrated they were with DARPA. But the thing is that, you know, look, Google wasn't the first search engine. They were somewhere in the 22nd or 23rd. But they had a unique way of looking at search that was different than everybody else. And this, obviously, Larry Page was a big kind of, you know, he was into the relationship of links and the relationship of pages, and that's what gave them the superior search capability by looking at the relation between all these things with the backweb algorithm. You know, but again, a lot of their algorithms and a lot of how this works is all, it's all private IP, it's all secret. We don't know, which is really kind of the fundamental problem here. We don't know how the algorithm chooses things. We don't know how the algorithm steers us. It just does. And they say, oh, you know, if the algorithm is doing what it does, math is math. I take issue with that. Math is not math in the context. This algorithm is tweaked. It's engineered by people, and it's their kind of worldview is, and ethics are baked into the algorithm. And by Google's own admissions, they change it nearly twice a day. So what are they doing? Well, we don't know. Are they tied in with these agencies? Probably, but we don't know. And as if you're going to use my data, I would like to know how you're using it, where you're using it, and what are your motives.
We had Zuckerberg from Facebook. We had him trotted out in front of the Senate. You know, well, there was a mistake. Not under oath, by the way. Not, you know, well, there's a mistake. I'll do better next time. You know, and, okay, there's a slap on the wrist and go walk away. Is there any teeth at all in Washington towards these agencies? It doesn't seem like it.
I mean, look, they don't even understand what they're looking at. You know, and I think in some ways, you know, even the companies that are building these technologies don't even understand what they're building. They're building a monster. They're building a thing. They're building it so fast, nobody took any time to say, well, you know, what does it all mean? And then by the time it gets to the Hill, you know, they say, well, are you doing this the right way? How can they check, you know, if these companies are doing, you know, right thing?
Yeah, there's the break. Yeah, how would they? I mean, it's just they're slow reactors. I mean, it'll be 5 years down the road before they even figure out what's going on. And that's basically the point of your whole video, your whole documentary. We'll be back on the other side. TheCreepyLine.com is the website. This is an important documentary, and it is so well done. At least the trailer that I've seen is amazing. Stay tuned. Now, getting back to our guest, Matthew Taylor, it's very nice to meet him. He's a very impressive individual. I had a great time talking to him earlier today. And on the air, we're discussing The Creepy Line. TheCreepyLine.com is the website. What is The Creepy Line? Well, Google is, Facebook, the surveillance, social media, whatever all this is, it's creepy the way they use it. They don't sell anything except you. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. When I saw that in the trailer, it just hit me like just a freight train. Oh, my gosh. They don't sell anything. They sell you. My word. Imagine that. I'm getting some emails. One of the most important questions. Time is going way too fast, Matthew. This is such an important subject and broad subject.
Yeah.
But AI, where does artificial intelligence fit in with this?
I mean, look, the AI market is, there. People are racing forwards. I mean, you have Google has entire divisions of their company working on AI and all sorts of things. I mean, we've heard the story about the AI they built that learned how to play chess in 4 hours. That's 1,500 years of human knowledge learned by a computer in 4 hours that can then completely, you know, wipe the board with us. And so you have AI machine learning in your iPhone to learn, you know, how you what your exercise is, how you burn calories. You have all of these systems that are learning, the automated cars that they put a number of cars out there. They all learn at the same time. And so this is a, you know, and of course you have multiple sides of the debate. You have, you know, see, I think it's Elon Musk and Bill Gates are kind of a little terrified of where AI goes. And of course in our own science fiction, we've talked about the rise of the robots taking over humanity. The thing is we are building things that we do not understand. Google is building them, Facebook's building them, in this instance, so is Apple and everybody else. And, you know, automation has always been part of human history, you know, and automation is great. The car is better than the buggy, the plane is better than the car, and we definitely shouldn't stifle any of that kind of that kind of innovation. But as we build these systems, who's building them? Can we trust them to build them? And that's really what it comes down to. This is a big question of trust. Institutions and companies thrive because their customer base trusts them. And frankly, I don't know if I trust Google to build a machine that can learn all of human, you know, knowledge in 5 hours and then use it against me if they're the ones who are going to control the machine. And that's only for now.
Well, you know, this, it reminds you, at least it alludes to, Arnold Schwarzenegger in the Terminator movie. That's what it alludes to.
Absolutely.
You know, is it going to go all the way to Skynet? I can't remember how long ago, 6 months, a year, there was a story that Facebook was running some AI experiments with computers and getting them to talk to each other then, and they were going to observe. They shut the experiment down because the computers created their own language, began to talk to each other, and the observers had no idea what they were saying to each other. Did you hear about that?
I've heard these stories, and I've heard these, you know, these kinds of projects they put together. I mean, there was the one, I think, where they made the AI, and it started saying racist things, you know. We don't know what these things will do. You know, we don't understand it. And look, I think it's, again, I mean, I love technology. I think AI is really cool. I think robots are really neat, and I would love to have a robot clean my apartment for me. That would be wonderful. But again, you know, there is always a dark side to building these things, and a worldview matters. It matters who builds these things. Obviously, very smart people build these things. We want smart people to build these things. But if they have a certain perspective, you know, what you build can be very destructive. And we are kind of starting to realize that, you know, deal right now.
Okay. Let's go to the political spectrum, because you mentioned it earlier. Some of your research you mentioned in the film was about how powerful Google, Facebook, these social media, whatever platforms, how big an influence, maybe that's a better way to say it, how big an influence they can have on elections. And you came up with a number about votes. I mean, it's a good thing I was sitting down, because that was a big influence.
Yeah, so Dr. Robert Epstein, who is really the backbone of the film, he actually did research, and he tracked Google during the 2016 election without them knowing it to see how they gave you returns on searches, and he found that they were very biased towards one candidate over another. And he has recently estimated that Google could potentially move up to 12 million votes in the midterm election without anybody knowing it. And one of the things the movie does is it goes through to explain how this actually works, how they can move your opinion by just using the search engine. Dr. Robert Epstein calls it the search engine manipulation effect, or SEAM. And it is built into how search actually works. And so we kind of break it down that, you know, if they have this search engine that we use on a daily basis and we're conditioned to trust it because most of the time it's just returning facts, well, what if they wanted to, say, put things into the return that sway us in one way or the other? We would have no idea. And due to the fact that they have a worldview and they are utopians, and they see it, as we've seen recently in some leaked documents, that they have kind of a view that they should control speech and things like that, it's not beyond the pale that they would push our elections and undermine democracy to execute what they think the world should be like.
Let me, you know, it's awkward for me. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I have disdain for both of them, especially the Democratic Party nowadays. Just for anyway, let me move on. But I find myself then end up automatically defending the Republicans. I find myself in that corner because of the way they're treated. You talked about the last election and how biased they were. What is that number? What percentage bias in for Trump or Clinton or what? What are we looking at?
Well, according to Dr. Robert Epstein's research, and just to put it out there, Dr. Robert Epstein is a Democrat. He's not a Republican. He's a Hillary Clinton supporter. He's not a Trump supporter. But his research came back that, you know, there was by a certain point in the election where all 10 results on the front page of Google all favored Hillary Clinton. You know, and so the thing is, and then actually he tracked him even a couple days after the election, and then the bias disappeared. So the thing is, they can put this bias in to the returns, and it's as simple as the first character you type. You know, when you type into the Google search bar, it makes suggestions.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, if you have candidate A and you have candidate B, well, what if Google said, you know what, we're only going to allow positive auto suggestion for candidate A, but then what we're going to do is we're going to give you allow the negative results for candidate B. That means if I click on any of those autofill suggestions, only positive web pages will come up, and then they will shift people towards that direction. Whereas candidate B,
you said 12 million. You said 12 million votes. Okay, we're coming on a break. Let me put this in your head during the break, and we'll get it on the other side. You've got to come back on soon, Matthew, because there's a lot more to talk to if you. Okay. Let's assume for a second, it's not a big stretch, that the intelligence agencies at some level are in bed with Google. They want surveillance.
Okay.
They want, you know, whatever all it brings. They're in bed with them some way. The CIA, the deep state, whatever it is, they favor a candidate. They favor maybe Hillary Clinton. It's not a big stretch to think, well, why don't they just tweak the whole thing that they're in bed with, that they're controlled, that they created or helped create, and that they funded to so it manipulates for their candidate. I mean, is that such a big stretch? You'll get the answer on the other side. TheCreepyLine.com or Matthew Taylor from TheCreepyLine.com. That's the new documentary from that's what the Google CEO said. We go to the creepy line, then we don't cross it. Well, your judgment has been impaired, sir. You have crossed it. Just to let you know, thecreepyline.com, great name. I laid out a scenario where, you know, with just a little imagination, it's pretty easy to see a world, envision a world where the deep state basically is controlling elections by these search engines and by Google. Am I crazy? Is this possible? What?
I mean, look, there's a possibility that we already live in that world. I mean, the thing is that if Google can sway an opinion on dog food, music services, where are you going to go eat tonight, it's very easy that they could sway your opinion on who you should vote for. It's very clear that they have world views that they want put out there through these videos that have been leaking out of Google's, you know, interior. They say that they want to shape the world to their perspective. And look, shaping the world politically is probably the most powerful perspective, in which to push people. And so if they did this in 2016, which it seems that Dr. Robert Epstein's research proves that they did, there's no reason they wouldn't do it. You know, if you had the power to make something happen in your hands, would you do it? I think most people would.
Mm.
And these companies have no restrictions. Remember, they are not American companies. They are global companies that don't respect borders or laws. They have a vision of the world in which they want to execute, and we're just one piece of this giant puzzle.
Define quickly. I mean, we're running out of time here, so just quickly. Describe that world vision. What does that mean?
I mean, they are utopians. They think that they can make the world better. And by making the world better, they think that certain types of ethical restraints should be in place. They think they should control speech. They think they should control how we live. Because they're smarter,
so so basically, to cut you off, basically they're socialists slash communists, and they think they know better than you. They're smarter than you. They want to control your life to make everything better, basically.
There are a lot of similarities between those worldviews, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. A couple things I really want. You're going to have to come back, Matthew. I'm really interested. China. China recently, we've seen the rollout in full view of this social credit score, real-time tracking, facial recognition of just about everybody on the street. If you don't meet their standards, quote-unquote, if you're not a reliable, trusted source in the community, you can't fly a plane. You can hardly get a job. I mean, that kind of thing. Is this where we're going here? Are we already there? I mean, is this, what does all this mean?
I mean, I would say in some ways we're already there. The difference is that we don't know it and they do. China, you know, the government say, hey, guys, we're all going to do this, and you have to do it. You have to, hey, look, you're a five, and the fives can't drive cars. In the United States, the American public would be enraged over that kind of thing. But let's look at it this way. If Facebook is collecting data on your kids, and then they link up with an insurance company, and the insurance company looks at the data that Facebook gives them and then doesn't give your kid insurance or raises their premiums, you know, isn't that a rating system? Isn't that just as discriminatory? Except you don't know it. That's the difference. Why did you not get the insurance? Well, I don't know. Is it because they looked at your kids drinking alcohol on their Facebook? I mean, this is the kind of world we are living in, except at least with China, you know it. Ironically, and they're a communist country, you know, so kind of a weird scenario.
Yeah, we'll just leave that for the next time, but very important. I wanted to bring it up. Are we too late here? What can be done? What does this is the ramifications and possibilities are just about as scary as you could possibly imagine. What can be done?
There are very few options that work currently. Right now, any of the options that the government have are for yesterday's companies, antitrust and these things. These companies are very smart, and they are integrated in everything. I mean, if you were to break Google in half, I mean, what would that do to communication, telecommunication, education, transportation, the very essence of our government, how you communicate with your kids? So we're going to all have to sit down and be very careful with how we proceed. The first thing that a user can do, don't use Gmail, don't use Android, don't use these platforms that are surveillance platforms. Avoid them at all costs. And, you know, we can't get away from using search at this point in time, but we are going to have to be careful. We can't do exactly what the EU is doing and ghettoize the Internet from the rest of the world. You know, we don't know the ramifications of fiddling with these companies at this stage because they are in our homes right now. They're in our GPSs and our cars and so on.
I can see the scenario where that Google goes too far. Well, they've already gone too far, but you know what I mean. The public perceives, you know, the public finally wakes up. Hey, well, you've gone too far. You got to do something. So then problem reacts in solution. The solution becomes, oh, you know what? You're right. We need to take over Google, and we'll control all this now, and meaning the government. So we basically, at the flip of the switch, went from quasi-private company surveilling everything to now the government is directly in everything, kind of like China. I could see that's not some far-reaching scenario that's just wildly made up.
No, it's not. I mean, this is the public utility argument. And, you know, there again,
right.
This is
yeah.
One of the many arguments, you know. And then the question about the public utility argument is, do you want your search to run like the DMV? You know, and so it is one of those scenarios.
Please,
you
no.
Yeah, that's the, you know, is how the government. Remember, government's designed to be inefficient by design. That's a good thing. We don't want them to move too fast and crazy things. And so the fact of the matter is that, you know, transparency has to be probably one of the very first things. We just need to know what they're up to. Look, if they come out and go, these are our worldviews, and this is what we're going to do, then I say, okay, fine, I won't use your product. That's okay. I don't need to use Facebook. know, I'll go use something else. Right now, there's nothing else because they're perceived as not taking a side. That's the perception. And the fact of the matter is that's just simply not true.
Well, you said they got that media exemption because they are, you know, supposed to be unbiased. That's nothing could be further from the truth. They are a media. They are a news source. We got about half a minute or so. I want to give you a chance. TheCreepyLine.com is the movie, the documentary. What can people expect? Just tell the audience why they should go out and buy this or share this important video.
Absolutely. It's on iTunes and Amazon right now for rental or purchase, and you can hopefully start the conversation and start taking some precautions to protect yourself from this.
Well, it has been a pleasure meeting you. Catherine, I hope you're still listening. Let's schedule him on to come on, you know, at least a month, 6 weeks. Come on again, Matthew. Let's see where we are. Let's see how your video is being received. I think it's a great project. I'm excited to watch the whole thing. And I just could hardly be more impressed with you. It's been really nice to meet
you,
sir.